Omagaratvarandasya dhananjana salakaya chaksu unvalitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanyam ravishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sadivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karnasindo Dinabando Divetvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sinubhivacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivastati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 18 The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha Text Number 10 Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Satyam Vayam Vo Vana Gochara Mriga Yusmat Vidan Mrigaye Rama Singhan Na Mrityu Pashai Pratimuktasya Vira Vikantanam Tava Rinanti Abhadra Shri Bhagavan Vacha Satyam Vayambo Vana Gocharam Riga Yusmat Vidan Mrigaye Grama Singhan Namrityu Pashai Pratimuktasya Vira Vikatanam Tava Grinantya Bhadra
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Satyam Vayam Bho Vana Gocharam Riga
Satyam Vayam Bho Vana Gocharam Riga
Yusmad Vidan Mrigaye Grama Singhan
Yusmad Vidan Mrigaye Grama Singhan
Namrityu Pashai Pratimuktasya Vira
Namrityu Pashai Pratimuktasya Vira
Vikatanam Tava Grinantya Bhadra
Vikatanam
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Satyam Vayam Bho Vana Gocharam Riga Yusmat Vidan Mrigaye Grama Singhan Namrityu Pashai Pratimuktasya
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Of one who is bound. Vira, the heroes. Vikatanam, loose talk. Tava, your. Grinanti, take notice of. Abhadra, oh mischievous one. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Personality of Godhead said, indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulgent, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Purport. Demons and atheistic persons go on insulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they forget that they are subjected to the laws of birth and death. They think that simply by decrying the existence of the Supreme Lord or defying His stringent laws of nature, one can be free from the clutches of birth and death. And Bhagavad Gita has said that simply by understanding the transcendental nature of God, one can go back home, back to Godhead. But demons and atheistic persons do not try to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord, therefore they remain in the entanglement of birth and death. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Satyam Vayambo Hanagotra Mriga Yusmadvidan Mrigaye Brahma Singhan Emriti Pashai Prati Muktasya Vira Vikatanam Tava Grinantya Bhadra. The Personality of God has said, indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulgent, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Krishna Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Vichayane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasyatya Desa. Here, as in other places, The problems of life were explained, namely Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. And even the demons, they're trying to solve these problems. Everyone is trying to solve the problems of material existence. But the methodology of the demon, that being asura, sura means one who follows the scriptural injunctions, those who are obedient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're called suras. And the persons who are against the instructions of Krishna, they're called asuras. The suras, they understand that we're entangled in the material world because of our unwillingness to follow Krishna's directions. Therefore, they want to find out what Krishna's directions are, and they want to make a serious effort to try to follow them. Although sometimes the suras are not always successful in following Krishna's directions, Krishna says, Yena Mikamidam Nityam, Anu Tishtanti Manava, Sharavantana Suyanto, Muchante Tepi Karmavi. Because of their effort to follow the instructions the best they can, they gradually make improvement, and therefore they become free from the bounds of birth and death. But, Yena Mikamidam Nityam, Anu Tishtanti But those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings and do not practice them are considered bereft of all knowledge and doomed to ignorance and bondage. In other words, although the persons of atheistic mentality, those who deny that they have to follow any instructions, they're also following instructions, as we know. They're following the dictation of their mind and senses. Although they're feeling themselves to be independent, but that independence is simply a product of illusion. Although they think that by their endeavor, they'll become free from birth, death, old age, and disease, but they're ever becoming more bound up by birth, death, old age, and disease. They're making propaganda that by some scientific discovery will find a cure for old age, disease, and death. And therefore, first of all, they're trying to tackle disease. But it doesn't appear that they're very successful, that people are not getting disease. Matter of fact, previously, people used to get things like smallpox or whatever else they used to get. Now they get cancer and heart attacks. Now they have AIDS, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's disease, whatever else they have. So it's not that people are not getting disease, just the diseases are much more serious. They're able to cover over the little diseases and create big, big diseases. So that when people die, they don't die of some insignificant thing like a cold or chicken pox. They die from something very dramatic, but much more expensive. So they feel good that, as I mentioned before, that my aunt, she had a bladder infection. So generally speaking, if you fast a day or two, the bladder infection goes away. But they weren't satisfied with such a primitive cure. Therefore, they took their standard allopathic medicine, and then she developed complications, which she had to take other medicines for, which developed further complications. And by the time she was dead in the emergency room, five doctors were visiting her day, giving her five different medicines. And my uncle was very happy that the final bill was $1,200,000. So he was satisfied that she had gotten the best treatment for her bladder infection. So this is commonly called foolishness, but this has become the standard of modern progress. After all, not only did my aunt die, but she also helped with gross national product. So she did something beneficial for the society by dying like that. Otherwise, if she would have gotten cured, then the whole part, you know, they would have lost $1,200,000 in gross national product, and she wouldn't have been so productive as she was by time. But the purpose of life is not to imagine that we're making progress in these fields. Just like old age, there's no cure for old age, although they're advertising that people are living longer. They're not living very much longer, but they're saying that people are living longer, but they don't take into account the fact that it's hard to make it out of the womb nowadays. In other words, if you're in the womb and you're 3 months old and you're killed, you didn't have a very long life. That's a quite short life. But of course, because they don't consider the child in the womb to be a living entity, they don't have to include that child in the birth statistics or the death statistics. In other words, as far as they're concerned, never existed. But as far as we're concerned, it was a very short life. And even if they make it out of the womb, still, although people may statistically be living longer, but it is not their living longer without anxiety or stress or disease. Or who knows, probably said it when he was asked like that. He said his grandmother lived for 90 years, and his grandfather lived for 95 years or something. He probably wasn't very impressed by their life statistics, the longevity statistics. In any case, even if we live for 100 years, it's not very significant in terms of eternal time. What to speak of death and then taking birth again? Although people want to deny that they have to take birth again, but the fact is that where are all these people coming from and love, other species of life coming from? They're not just manifesting in existence, they're actually coming because other souls have left their bodies and taken new bodies. But the demons, they want to deny the fact that they're going to be subjected to these problems of life, but probably compares them to the ostrich, which sees a big animal attacking him and immediately runs and finds a hole and puts its head into the hole and says, "It's not there, it's not there, it went away. I'm protected, my head's in the hole. Can't get me now." Or the rabbit, when it's cornered, its defense by another animal, it closes its eyes and hopes the bad situation will just go away. Similarly, when we deny the real problems of life, it is not that because they don't exist, it's because we're not intelligent enough to deal with them. And because they've concluded that there's no way of dealing with them, therefore they think that the best thing to do is to gratify the senses as much as possible for the whatever little duration of life we have. This is called asura, because they don't believe in anything Krishna says. Krishna says the body is changing and the soul is always the same soul within the body, and the soul doesn't die when the body disappears, but it simply goes on to take another body, but they don't accept that. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Balam Garpam, I forget the first word now. Something that being bewildered by false strength, and strength is Balam, by false pride, by whatever. They take shelter of insatiable lust, and therefore they're always envious. They decry the Supreme Lord and they're envious of their own existence. Ahankara Balam Dharpam, Kama Krodha Chasam Shitaha, Mam Atma Paradeheshu Padri Shantod was Vyasuyakaha. So being bewildered by false ego, by false pride, Ahankara Balam Dharapam, Kama Krodha Kasamshita. They take shelter of insatiable lust and anger, Ahamatma Paradeheshu, and they become envious of the Supreme Lord situated within their own bodies, and they become envious even their own selves, and they cry against the real religion. In other words, even they hear that they're eternal, they become very disturbed. They don't like to hear that they're eternal. Although they're trying to be eternal, they're trying so many ways to preserve life, but when they find out that life, preserving life, is not by preserving this body, but is by discovering the self, they don't like that at all. They want to be a body. They want to be imagined, they want to imagine that they're going to become eternal in this body. And they don't like the fact that there's another person who is also eternal, but he's always superior, eternally. They feel that this is unfair, it's undemocratic. No one wants him to be God here. Why does he bother everyone? Why doesn't he just go away, leave us alone? We don't like him, we don't want him. Doesn't he get the message? They think like that. They become pradvishanto. They're envious by asuyata, and they decry against Krishna and reality. They just don't like reality. But reality doesn't change. And although they've created, Prahlad Maharaj said, vimud, a humbug civilization. So chevi mukachetasa indriyarta maya sukhaya. Maya sukhaya, a civilization which is the happiness of just illusory. They're just taking some satisfaction that we've conquered material nature. Although at every moment material nature is pushing them, forcing them into a more miserable condition of life, still they're declaring that they've conquered material nature. Just like a prisoner, he's being beaten by the guard in the prison, slapped around, tortured, and he's saying, leave me alone, you can't touch me. I'm never going to listen to you. Sure, you don't have to listen to us. Smack, smack. You don't want to listen to anyone. Smack, whack. I'm not going to listen to anyone. But although we don't want to listen to Krishna, we're forced to be by the material nature into so many different undesirable situations in this world. Mokaisha moka karmano moka jnana vicheta saha rakshasim asrim chaiva prakriti mohanim shitaha. They're moka, they're always bewildered. They're trying hard to cultivate, to beautify, to make harmonious this present world. They're trying to decorate it. It's like when we have Christmas, there's so many decorations. It's the season to be jolly. Because the only way people get jolly is when they get intoxicated on Christmas Day. Otherwise, they're in anxiety, buying all the presents, trying to figure out how to spend their money, how much someone spent on them last year, how much your life should spend on them this year. Otherwise, they feel guilty. So they're in anxiety up until Christmas Day. So then the appearance day of a great saintly person, they celebrate by getting intoxicated so they can forget more about it. And in his honor, they kill some animals, perform all kinds of sinful activities just to satisfy him. So he didn't have enough sinful activities that he died for. Now we'll give you a few more. Keep you engaged. But the only way they can so-called enjoy life is to forget life, get intoxicated, forget all their misery. And when they see the Hare Krishnas dancing and chanting, they're saying, why are you trying to escape? Why don't you do something real like we do and take some intoxication? Face reality. Be a man who did intoxicate. Therefore, in every step, they're full of contradictions, they're full of problems, and when they see that people are trying to get out of these problems, they become very disturbed. Why are you not trying to suffer like we are? You think you're better than we are? We're not going to let you go. We're going to make sure that you become convinced that the real purpose of life is to become happy by following us and suffering like we are. Ahajno yena katasabhanta. The conclusion is that everyone has to choose. Either we choose to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His instructions, and that's what it means to follow, to choose Krishna. Krishna, as it's mentioned here, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatpataha tyaktateham padara janma naiti mam eti sorajana. Janma karma. We have to understand how Krishna took his birth and what his activities were and how they were divyam. They were spiritual, but not material. That Krishna is never entangled by this material nature, and that therefore one who takes shelter of Krishna, even he may seemingly be in a material body, but he's actually transcendental. He knows who he actually is. Kitapa kashi yatyekam krishnam lokim amrvi kshetra kshetri kita krishnam prakashyeti bharata. Just like the sun alone illuminates all the universe with its sunlight, so the soul within the body illuminates the body with consciousness. Ita sarvakitam sokshmad prakashino pulipyute sarvata vastita dehe kitatno pulipyajayate. Just like the air, although it's situated within the sky, doesn't mix with anything or within the body. So similarly, the soul, who's fashioning Brahman vision, doesn't mix with the body, although situated in the body. Fashioning the soul never mixes with the body, but one who's in Brahman vision realizes anadi vam nirgunadvat paramatmayam aviyam sharira stopi kunteya na karotina lapite. That one who has the vision of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is the soul fashioning entangled. Those who are devotees who follow Krishna, who understand Krishna, they realize their factual position. And those who don't want to follow Krishna, those who don't want to find out who they really are, they're an illusory path towards trying to obtain supremacy over material nature that's never been accomplished since time immemorial, but they had the foolish idea that they were going to be the first ones to do it. Demons such as Hiranyakashipu, who had the power to stand with his arms upraised for thousands of years and so tolerant that the worms and the ants were eating his body, so determined that his life there was situated in his bones for hundreds of years, so determined to become God, and that in one moment he was killed. So what to speak of our insignificant selves? What can we do? We can absolutely do nothing. But Krishna is very kind. For those who want the illusion, Krishna supplies an illusion so we can be here forever, struggling hard to become something we'll never become. And in spite of all the problems and obstacles that Maya puts up, all the warnings, all the chastisements, all the advice, all the good counsel, everything that's trying to be awakening the soul, if the soul doesn't want to be woken up to the fact that we're never going to become God, we're never going to become the lords and the enjoyers of this material nature, still we can go on from now into eternity struggling for something that's a waste of time. Useless. We can go on and go on and go on, birth after birth, and think we're making progress. Maya will always tell us, Even when going to hell, she's going to say, "You're doing a great job. Keep it up, kid. Don't worry. You'll be all right. Just work a little harder wherever you go." And so many people will encourage us. Look, she's going to hell, and everyone's going to cheer. Hey, go for it. You're doing great. But here Krishna is not encouraging Haranyaksha. He's saying, "My dear Haranyaksha, it's true you're calling us an animal from the forest, but such an animal like me, we've been searching after dogs like you. That although you're insulting us, we don't really care because we know ultimately you're going to die. And we're not going to die. So who's going to win?" You go, "Uh-huh." So Krishna knew the outcome. Although he's being insulted, he knew finally this guy is going to be smashed. So who cares what he says? And indeed, if you listen to the next verses, you'll find out who wins. The conclusion is that we should try to appreciate Krishna. We should try to understand the position of those who don't want to follow Krishna, and we should make a decision to follow those who are following Krishna, and then we'll be on the right team. Otherwise, whatever team we're rooting for, if it's not Krishna's team, we're going to lose. So thank you. Any questions?
I'm just, I stuck a few times when, in our philosophy, so many times it's described as violence, Krishna's attacking, and ultimately, Kurukshetra happening. And I'd just like to know what is the shortest way to explain to somebody. He said, you also support holy war, this is a matter of people. So I may say that you should read whole Bhagavad Gita before you make a conclusion.
Yeah. And our philosophy is if you don't surrender to Krishna, you're going to be killed. That's the way it works. I mean, that's the reality. But you're already dying. It's not that if you don't fight on some battlefield, you're going to live forever. Krishna, he's already killing everyone in the form of time. Everyone's imperceptibly being killed by Krishna. Kalosmi Bharatara Shiva. Time I am. Kalasmi Shaya Krit Parido Lokan Samahart Mihapurida Vipepi Kramnabha Vishanti Sarve Evasita Kratmunikeshiyoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come here to engage everyone. Except for the Pandavas, everyone here on both sides is going to be slain. So Krishna is the worry about being killed by someone. Well, Krishna is a supreme terrorist. He's killing everyone. And no one escapes from him. In the form of time, he's grinding everyone to little bits. So by the law of time, by the influence of time, this beautiful body that we have is going to be, by Krishna's arrangement, either made into stool, which is eaten by animals, or made into ashes, if it's burned, or made into plants, if it's devoured by little insects or dust. So Krishna, in the form of time, is going to kill everyone's body. What to speak of a few insignificant millions of people on a battlefield. And if you don't like that, then complain to him. Everyone's been complaining to him for a long time, but he hasn't changed. Everyone's been complaining, you know, sending in letters and telling him what they think about him, but still he goes on. Didn't seem to affect him very much, all the complaints. Krishna unfair. Yes, go home. Yeah. You can think like that. Yeah, of course, Krishna loves us, but Even the terrorists, they're also an instrument for Krishna. Everyone is acting as an instrument for Krishna. Everyone's getting their karma through the actions for what they've done. So even the terrorists, they may not, within their hearts, doing it out of love. Krishna cause, whatever he arranges for us, is out of love. But it is not that Krishna, because of his loving feelings towards us, has arranged time to ground us life after life. Oh, I just love you so much. Here, here's time, ground. But it is. Krishna has, he wants to wake us up. And therefore he, at the same time, he doesn't want to interfere with our independence. So he's arranged this to simultaneously give us our independence and hopefully gradually wake us up out of this intoxication of trying to be independent of him. So of course everything Krishna does is out of love. We have to understand it clearly what the material world is and how it works. Bhukraman Tansatim Bhati, Bhunjana Bhagavandika, Dimuranamapa Shanti Pashanti Jana Chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, for those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. The one whose eyes are actually trained can see that even a terrorist comes, that still he's doing his part to help us wake us up. No one can kill us, we're eternal. But everyone's trying to wake us up, one way or another. So we can understand that. There's no, we have no business here. Our only business is to serve Krishna either here or anywhere else. But that's our real business. Not trying to uselessly compete with Krishna. So people, even the terrorists, will help remind us that. Yes.
Is there a difference between the enjoying of Krishna and the enjoying of the religious?
Well, I guess you can try and find out. Enjoying Krishna.
And then what's it? Krishna enjoys everything and anything at the same moment. So, and the religious world tries to enjoy it too.
Well, we're trying to enjoy this material nature. But the material nature is just like trying to enjoy a reflection of an apple within the water. It appears to be a real apple, therefore we can try to enjoy it, but it's not really enjoyable, the apple. What's actually enjoyable is the apple which is on the tree. So trying to enjoy this illusory energy, illusory in the sense, this temporary energy, is not the real enjoyment of the soul. The real enjoyment of the soul is spiritual, through a different nature, different consciousness. The real enjoyment of the soul is to experience Krishna's happiness. But as soon as we're disconnected from Krishna, we may try to enjoy in so many different ways, but it won't be very enjoyable. Just like the example is given, that the fingers may try to enjoy the sweet without giving to the stomach, thinking that why should we work so hard for a stomach? We should try and feel a little ourselves. So they may try, but they'll be unsuccessful. They'll only be successful when they first give the food to the stomach. Then when the stomach enjoys, then the different parts of the body enjoy. So similarly, when Krishna enjoys, then everyone enjoys. When we feel, experience Krishna's enjoyment. And when we don't, then we don't enjoy. It may appear this material world is enjoyable, just like someone may say, you may ask someone, what is sugarcane like? So they say it looks like bamboo. So you may go and start chewing bamboo, thinking that it's like, it's sugarcane. It looks like sugarcane, but there's no juice in it. So you may go on endlessly trying to chew it and enjoy the sweetness, but it won't be there. It's only when you get the real sugarcane that you can actually experience what real sweetness is. So the material world looks like the spiritual world, where our original place of enjoyment, but it's not the spiritual world, it's just a reflection of it. Okay, thank you very much. Skandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.